Adams of the Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
You better believe it, Alan Adams right here in studio with us, which means, A, it's Monday, and B, well, I'm happy because Alan's here. And, I mean, I'd be happy if it was just Alan, but you came bearing gifts.
That's right. There are cookies.
Mm.
Sheridan did some baking this weekend.
Thank you, Sheridan.
She placed those in my hand on my way out the door, and she's like, we can't have all of these in our house. and so you are the beneficiary of us making at least some semblance of an effort to maintain reasonable health.
Yeah, because I didn't eat enough this weekend. Super Bowl and this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
Yeah. So many options to eat poorly this weekend.
Yeah, oh, tell me about it. You had a good weekend?
I did. Tell me about improv. I was not able to make it to the focus group show Friday night, but it went well.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a good show. You know, the turnout was a little lighter than anticipated, but
a lot of things going on.
Well, that's the thing, you know, like
the daughter dance. And...
Yeah, you know, and you know, it's the last weekend for Constellations at PDC, and you know, this, that, and the other thing. Like, it's fine, and it doesn't matter. It could be. For 1 or 100, like we do what we do.
There you go.
And had a really good time, you know. And then I had some family in from out of town, and so I was hung out with them for a little bit on Saturday. Did some picking up around the house.
Nice.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where we've done some entertaining in the last month or so.
Yes, you have.
And so the first floor is in pretty good shape. But the higher you go in the house,
So you hide stuff then.
Oh yes, 1,000%. I do. Sheridan handles things the way they're supposed to be handled, where I'm just shoving things into whatever space I can reasonably throw a blanket over it or whatever.
Right, right.
So we spent a good chunk of Saturday trying to get things back in order a little bit. You know, made some progress. Still plenty to do. There always is. But we felt we earned. We earned our nice night out Saturday night, and then of course yesterday was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So we did the Super Bowl thing.
Nice. Yeah, we went to the gala celebrating the Maine Discovery Museum.
Yeah, how was Saturday? It? Saw some photos. Looked like fun.
Yeah, very cool. A little Roaring Twenties theme.
Very
and nice crowd there. Everybody decked out in their finery.
I was gonna say, people out there need to know. You know, Rich Kimball looks damn fine in a tux, ladies and gentlemen. Like, he looks real good.
I clean up okay. Yeah, that was fun. And then, yeah, Super Bowl Sunday. I'm going to talk about it later in the good, the bad, and the ugly. But did you happen to watch the documentary on NFL Today?
I did not.
It was called You Are Looking Live, and it was about the history of the CBS pregame show.
Neat.
And Brent Musburger was the host of it.
Oh, that's very cool.
And they had Jane Kennedy on, and you've talked about how it all started, and Phyllis George, and Irv Cross, Jimmy the Greek, and that whole saga.
Oh, wow, okay.
It was very well done.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things where I don't think people necessarily think about, those sorts of shows in the same way. But it's like, I mean, God, how long have they been doing...
Well, Jim Nantz said, you believe it or not, for a decade or so, the Super Bowl began with about 3 minutes of announcers, and then it was the game.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah, and now it's like a week.
Right, right. the game itself was pretty good, ended up good.
Yeah, you know, like I had some questions through the first half. It's just like, oh, the immediate thought you have is, oh, God, is it another one of those... Patriots Rams nightmares,
right?
You know, things really sort of took off there in the second half, in a lot of ways, which was really nice. You've got a little guy at home. Did you check in with the Nickelodeon broadcast at all?
I checked in a couple of times, and the only reason I didn't hang with it is because they weren't running the same commercials,
right?
And I knew I'd be talking about commercials today, so I bounced in a couple of times. I mean, Nate Burleson's great.
Like, he's one of those dudes, it's like, oh, so you're just good at everything.
Yeah.
Like you're good at literally everything you try. Because, I mean, he was an excellent football player. He's great on CBS this morning.
Yeah.
He's going in the booth as well. Yeah. And holding his own next to...
Well, Patrick Starr, it's tough to match that level of expertise.
Well, and by all accounts, and I only saw bits and pieces, but by all accounts, it was an absolute delight.
The little bit I saw was fantastic.
Like they were everything I've seen has been like they really struck a fine balance between making sure the kids were engaged and still and making it not insufferable for adults.
Right.
But basically, they're not to be cynical about it, but they are very much gateway drugging these kids into football.
Question. No question.
It's one more smart move from the NFL. Say what you will about them, and there's plenty to say. They know how to get their money.
But I like what they did and the fact that it's a game. It's fun, and it should be fun and entertaining, and they certainly didn't take anything very serious.
Well, and it's so easy to lose sight of that, I was crossing my fingers that we'd get some more combative showing out from some folks over the course of the game, but that's okay. I'm far from alone in being like, take a knee, Taylor. I dare you. it was a good game. Anytime you go to overtime, extra football, man, it's hard to argue it. Meant that I was dragging a little bit this morning.
Oh yeah,
me and a lot of other folks.
Well, Graham was hanging in there, and then we went to overtime, and he's looking at me, and the eyes are drooping. Yeah. And he's like, "How long do you think overtime will go?" I said, "Well, you probably should plan on a half hour." I gotta go to bed.
Oh
but
man,
effort at 10.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, we've all been there, buddy.
Yeah,
we have all been there, and yeah, they got through the entirety of the first overtime period. Yeah. So that was
Best commercial from your perspective?
I me and Quentin Tarantino, we were pretty into that foot washing commercial. Rex Ryan was just like homina homina homina.
You're right.
I felt like it was kind of a weak year commercial wise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the Dunkin' ad I thought was great. It was the New England connection.
Well, and I mean, I think it was good, elevated to great by an exquisite performance from Matt Damon.
Yes, yeah, he made it. You're right. He absolutely made it.
I guess the thing was, and I thought about it like sort of after the fact, there's nothing like, there's no big thing right now that warrants like commercial coverage. Not like, the crypto stuff from a year or two ago, like the early onslaught of like sports gambling apps, that kind of thing. I actually, like, we got one, but I was actually expecting a couple more like AI.
Yeah, I thought we might.
Ads,
Just
because, if you want me to take you seriously as a existential threat to humanity, like maybe run a couple of Super Bowl ads.
No, you should advertise.
You know what I mean? Like, if you can't even get your crap together to get a 30-second spot on, in the second quarter, am I really afraid of you?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't know. But, and there were a couple of like classic throwback type thing. It's like, oh yeah, the Budweiser horses, the Clydesdales showed up like late. Like I was like, it was one of those things where like I hadn't realized I hadn't seen them yet until they popped up, and I'm like, oh man, yeah, we almost missed it.
Yeah.
And then after that, beyond that, it's like it was a lot of like, forced nostalgia and celebrity pitchmen and and that sort of thing, which again is fine. Like I am the target of the targeted nostalgia now, so that certainly contributes to my engagement. But at the same time, it's like I don't know, it just. It felt very, I didn't feel like I saw anything I hadn't seen before, I guess.
Right.
This is usually a time where there's some innovation in that space. Yeah. And I didn't think that really happened this time so much.
Alan Adams with us here on Downtown. Well, let's talk movies. By the way, first of all, I got to watch Orion in the Dark.
Isn't it great?
My gosh, that was a wonderful movie.
Did you get a chance to? Did you watch it with Graham?
No, not yet, but I want to. I didn't need to.
Right,
I
mean, that's the thing.
I enjoyed it as much as any 10-year-old would.
Yeah, it was that kind of movie. So I'm glad that you did that. The listeners, we talked about it last week, and I got home. And that night I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I forgot to mention this to Rich. There's a spot, there's a moment early in the film where the character of Dark shows a short film that he made about himself. and it's narrated by Werner Herzog. Actually Werner Herzog, yeah. And you're just like, oh, okay, so this movie gets me.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So thank you for that. What did you see this week?
Well, nothing that made my heart sing quite like Orion in the Dark. I'll tell you that. But I did see a couple. It's funny. I had hoped to get to the theater because there is a wide release this week that I'm very curious about. A film called Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh yes, yeah.
That looks pretty intriguing. Mm. But I didn't get a chance to get out. I was far too busy doing other stuff.
Yeah,
like a chump. but I did see a couple of streaming offerings. I saw a very interesting movie on Hulu titled Suncoast.
Oh yes, I saw the trailer for that. Great cast.
Yeah, and then on Amazon Prime, a formulaic but pleasant enough rom-com called Upgraded.
Okay.
Starring I gotta look it up because I always get the there's a cohort of young actresses that sort of blend together for me, but Camila Mendez is the one I'm talking about this time for Upgraded. Maybe we'll talk about that one first.
Just yeah, let's do that.
There's not a whole lot there that you're gonna, right. We're not reinventing the wheel here. it's the movie's titled Upgraded. It's directed by Carlson Young. Stars Camila Mendez, Archie Renaud, Thomas Kretschmann, Lena Olin is in this, Anthony Head, and a very strange turn from Marissa Tomei. Actually. But the basic gist is you've got a young lady named Anna Santos. She's an ambitious intern working for a art dealer. The art dealer, whose name is Claire, that's Marissa Tomei, with just an inexplicable accent. Like, I don't know what she's I don't know what she's doing. There's actually a running bit in which they discuss the fact that despite her weirdly, vaguely European accent, she's probably from Minnesota. But be that as it may. So Anna is struggling. She's in debt. She's living in New York City because that's where you got to live if you're going to be in the art world. She's in an internship program at this esteemed dealership. And she's living in a studio apartment with her sister and her sister's fiancé. Neither of whom is super stoked to have her there. And so they're trying to sort of ease her out the door, even as she's trying to work her way up the ladder bit by bit. A series of circumstances leads to her getting the opportunity to accompany her boss and her boss's two primary assistants to London for a big auction. She goes, and the other two assistants are very mean to her, as often the case in this sort of film, but the ticket agent sees this happening and is like, "Girl, I got you," and upgrades her to first class. So she gets to fly to London first class.
Nice.
In the course of her first class experience, she winds up meeting this guy, Will, a British fellow, an ad exec, who is returning home after a job interview in New York for his mom's birthday. They're on the plane together. They wind up sitting next to each other because, of course, they do, and they chat.
Otherwise, ain't got no movie.
Right. It's it's not a not meet cute, in the course of their conversation, she allows him to believe that she, rather than being a lowly assistant, she is actually the director of the aforementioned gallery, dealership, etc. Which, it's chit chat on a plane. Doesn't really matter.
Harmless.
Until they get off the plane and, his mom's there and the mom's like, "Oh, well, let me take you to your hotel." Turns out mom is a relatively famous, UK actress, not famous in the States, but famous, famous enough in London. Our friend Anna sort of gets swept up into this world, even as she's trying to fight her way through the various obstacles presented by her work trip. But then it turns out having famous people have your back makes certain aspects of being an art dealer's assistant very easy. Mm. And so we start to see some overlap. Things quickly spiral out of control. And, love is in the air, but also deception, Rich. And young Anna has to figure out how to reconcile those two things before it's too late.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
There you go.
That's
all you need to know.
Yeah, it really is. Probably more than you need to know. It's fine. It's sweet. It is very much a middle of the road sort of romantic comedy, which, well, for my money, there are a few things that are better to just sort of have on and experience passively than an okay rom-com. Mm-hmm. It's not the sort of thing where if you look away for a few minutes, you're going to miss anything. But the actors are charming and attractive, and everybody's seems to be having a good time, especially Marissa Tomei, who is really gnawing on the scenery with that Count Chocula accent she's working. They're having a good time. And, we get to see some pretty people in pretty places. And then there's a bunch of art. And because, again, if she wasn't working for an art dealer, she'd be, writing for a magazine or a wedding planner. Like those are pretty much the jobs that women can have in these sorts of things. Nothing that I'm probably going to revisit, but a pleasant enough time.
All right. What about Suncoast? I was intrigued by the casting in this one.
Yeah, this one's a much better movie. It's written and directed by a woman named Laura Chin, and it is based on a true story, her own true story. It's about a young lady named Doris, a teenage girl, living in Clearwater, Florida, with her single mom and her brother, who is bedridden, and he's got a very aggressive form of brain cancer that has rendered him immobile and uncommunicative, and essentially he's essentially in a vegetative state, and he's on his way out. So they've been caring for him at home for a number of years. Finally, it has gotten to be too much, and so the time has come for them to move him into hospice care. This movie is set in the midst of the ongoing saga surrounding Terri Schiavo.
Oh, wow.
And so her brother is in the same facility that Terri Schiavo is in.
Mm.
And so we are, as they're dealing with their individual grief, every time they show up, there are hundreds of protesters outside, like waving signs, and some are more peaceful than others. As we've seen, there are certain aspects of societal advance that gets population I'm talking about.
Yes.
That gets them real riled up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because it's. It's not really their business, but they make it their business.
Right, right. The people who tell you that the government should stay out of your business, but when it's something they're fired up about, it's all about your business.
Yeah. They care about life until they don't. But anyway, so you have these protests outside, and this poor girl who goes to a private Christian school, even though she and her family aren't Christian, because mom didn't want to send her to the public school. And so mom is working multiple jobs to afford everything, which means that much of the caretaking duty has fallen on Doris for her brother. And so, as you might imagine, that's developed some complicated feelings. She's kind of friendless. She doesn't really have a social circle. But that starts to change. Her brother goes into the facility, and Doris finally starts making connections with some of her classmates. And it's really funny because these are very sort of movie typical teen girls, like the vocal fry and the obsession with boys and all that stuff. And so you have a quiet girl like Doris sort of being drawn into the circle, and at the risk of spoiling it, but because I felt tense about it when it first started, you assume that this is going to go poorly for Doris. And it does in many ways, but not because of her new friends.
Hmm.
Like, even though they're kind of terrible teenage people, they aren't terrible to her, which was a pleasant surprise, you know, because that's how you kind of expect a movie like this to go.
Right.
Aside from that, she's in and out of the facility, with her mom, which, by the way, I can't believe I mentioned this yet, played by Laura Linney. Who's great in this. She's really, really good. But her mom has spent so much of her time dedicated to caretaking for her son that the relationship between her and her daughter is pretty strained. This leaves Doris to find sort of, you know, adult interaction in different ways, including when she inadvertently winds up sort of developing this weird sort of, it's not really a paternal relationship, like more like a weird uncle relationship, with one of the protesters, played by Woody Harrelson, who's phenomenal. It's like, this is, if we just get like Woody Harrelson in like doing like four or five strong scenes in, in dramas, two or three times a year, from now till the end of time, I'm here for it.
Oh yeah.
Because he's so good, and like he's really dealing in this one. So it's really nice. But as we watch, as you know, Doris's relationships grow and change, even as we get closer and closer to the time when her brother will leave us, and the ups and downs of a typical teenager's life sort of, I don't know, magnified by the tragedy of her circumstances.
Right.
It's the sort of movie that I think could have been really maudlin and really sort of saccharine almost. And just like it's the sort of thing where it's like you're always like two wrong turns away from a Lifetime movie, but we never take those wrong turns. And I think a large part of that is the fact that the filmmaker is telling her own story.
Yeah.
Like this is based on her life. Like, she grew up in Clearwater, with her mom. Her brother did in fact have brain cancer and go through this experience. And so when you're telling a personal story like that, like it makes it much easier for it to be grounded in a reality,
right,
even though the circumstances might seem a little heightened. But when you have that sort of fundamental baseline, it really works. The performances are excellent. The young woman playing Doris is just outstanding. She's a young actress named Nico Parker. Linney, of course, is phenomenal. Yeah. Woody Harrelson is great. The teenagers playing Doris's peers, also very good. Again, we've talked about this on a number of occasions. Like, you know, they're like the third credited teenager in this group, in this movie, like a name that I don't remember and probably will never remember. Would have been the greatest child actor of the 1980s. Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
yeah,
like the bar has risen that much, I think, in years past. But yeah, it's really well made. It's incredibly emotionally impactful. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like you're watching a movie. It's like, oh man, how did someone start cutting onions? Why is it so, why is it so dusty in here? I'm having. You know, I got very actively emotional watching this movie. And I mean, I know I have a soft spot for those sort of like familial relationship movies and things like that. But even so, it's incredibly well made. The fact that it is grounded in reality, I think, makes a big difference. There were certain elements of the real story that kind of got glossed over. There's a reason they live in Clearwater.
Okay.
Headquarters of it's not Christianity, but it is Scientology. I guess our filmmaker was in fact raised in Scientology. There's no mention of Scientology in this movie. And that makes me think either A, she got all the way out, or she's still all the way in.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the two things, right. I think. But, I mean, even leaving that aside, like, that's not fair. Like, you can believe whatever cuckoo banana stuff you want to believe and still make a good movie.
Sure.
But yeah, like, this is one where I think it's not necessarily a fair point of comparison because I don't think it's as good a film. But, I mean, I think the logical comparison here is something like Coda. Know, something made by a streaming service specifically for the service as opposed for theatrical release.
Right.
A thoughtful, heartfelt sort of family drama that uses quality performances to elevate the proceedings a little bit. And I think it has that kind of vibe. Like I said, this is not that movie. This is not as good a movie as Coda, but it's still pretty good, you know? And for anyone who is dealing with like familial loss or anything like that, it seems like the sort of movie that I think could really resonate with people. Suncoast, which is the name of the facility that folks were in, but you know, it was really interesting to see like this familial unit dealing with something, you know, on a sort of individual level and having this other sort of tangentially related thing that was literally everywhere.
Yeah. Like, what was that? I mean, I can't even remember. Was that like mid-90s?
I wanted to say early aughts, but okay. I think you might be right. Like, anyway, at least 20 years ago maybe 30. Like, yeah. It was a long time ago, but it's still one of those things where you remember the name.
Yeah.
You know, and that's wild. It's wild to think about that is something that's out there. But yeah, so the sort of juxtaposition of the micro and the macro, I think, it is really effective. And does a great job of sort of conveying, the monumental nature of loss and what it means to hold on, as well as what it means to say goodbye. And so, it's not a laugh a minute. There are some funny moments, but it gets sad. And, you know, so, you know that going in. But if you're prepared for a film that'll make you chuckle and maybe shed a tear or two, yeah, Suncoast is a pretty good one.
And that's on Hulu.
Yeah, that's Hulu.
Excellent. Have you seen American Fiction yet?
I have not seen it yet.
I think I saw over the weekend that it's streaming now.
Okay, well, that's good to know because, it's everything I hear about it. It's just like this is clearly a movie for me. Mm. So it's a shame I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Well, you will. And we'll talk about it.
Heck yeah, we will.
All right. Thanks, Sheridan, for the cookies.
Oh, I will.
Good to see you again.
You as well.
Let's do this next Monday.
All right.
It's Alan Adams talking movies here on Pass the Popcorn.